from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I was not ready. Yeah, we're good. I'm doing real good, Corey LaJoy. Thanks for asking. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you. Texter said, shouldn't that keeper of cool intro say, oh yeah, and Rob's here too? I mean, it depends on what you're talking about, all right? Lonzo hosts a show every Saturday from 7 to 9 on our brother station, WORD, where all he talks about is cool stuff. Comic books, video games, movie. What was the overall critique of Deadpool and Wolverine now that we're out of the window?
We still haven't talked about it because one of the people on the show hasn't watched it yet.
That's disappointing.
Yes, it is.
Did you say even Rob Brown's seen this?
I didn't, but I probably should have, but I don't think he would have gotten a reference.
Oh, so it's one of the...
We do have some crossovers, but, you know, I don't think he would have gotten a reference.
10-4. Got it. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was exceptional. I thought it was perfect in just about every way.
And by the way, Texter, don't take away from my with and status. At least I've got that.
So, let's get to this story, because this story is wild. Young cat by the name of Rodney Hill. Rodney Hill was a 3-star running back recruit who found his way to Florida State University down in Tallahassee, Florida. Hill spent 2 seasons at FSU before he announced his intention to enter the transfer portal. But why did Rodney Hill elect to enter the transfer portal despite the fact that last year he was a valued member of the running back stable for Florida State, a guy who was RB3 on the depth chart and did indeed get touches for the Noles last year? A Florida State team, by the way, that was selected by the media in the preseason poll and by Vegas to repeat as champions of the Atlantic Coast Conference and earn themselves, potentially, a first-round bye in the inaugural year of the college football 12-team playoff. Well, the story, according to Rodney Hill, goes like thus. Apparently, all of Rodney Hill's money, NIL deals, etc., were being run through and by his parents. Okay. No harm, no foul so far. Commendable that you would trust your parental units to run your business while you go out there and focus on being a great football player. Rodney Hill's parents then went and hired Rodney Hill an agent. Now again, okay, that's pretty SOP for college football players nowadays. You get yourself an agent who helps you to negotiate and maximize name, image, and likeness deals and get the bag. Again, not unusual. Well, apparently, this agent reached out to other schools on behalf of Rodney Hill, impersonating Rodney Hill, telling other schools that he was Rodney Hill, engaging the interest in not just a transfer portal move for Rodney Hill, but what type of value in the NIL world a player like Rodney Hill might get if he was to join one of these other teams. That news got back to Florida State, and Florida State said, well, tell you what, why don't you go ahead and hit the portal? Why don't you go ahead and find that better NIL deal? And Rodney Hill, according to Rodney Hill, was effectively forced to transfer out of Florida State. The former three-star prospect transferred right down the street to Florida A&M, which is in Tallahassee. He was going to go play for Willie Simmons, but Florida A&M coach Willie Simmons immediately took the running backs coach job at Duke shortly after Hill joined. So Rodney Hill then moved southern into the Sunshine State, joined to go play with the Miami Hurricanes. He committed to the Miami Hurricanes. He was there 2 weeks before he rejoined Florida A&M in late January, but he still wasn't done. He then entered the transfer portal again and emerged in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where he is now playing for Sam Pittman's Wupik-Suey Razorbacks. Why is Rodney Hill telling this story now? Why would he not have come out while all of these things were happening to him over the past couple of months? Rodney Hill says the answer is, quote, I know it's your parents and stuff like that, but sometimes you've got to handle it on your own. Sometimes, like with my parents, I know they were trying to do the best thing for me, but sometimes you've just got to take that on your own and got to do it yourself. But to other kids, I'd just say you don't have to get an agent now. Just wait. End quote. Here's what I feel bad for. I feel bad that there is an agent out there, and I'll even give this agent the credit, although I kind of wish Rodney Hill would call him out by name. I feel bad that there is an agent that took it onto himself to pretend to be a college football player in order to have a conversation. Because if you are speaking with somebody in Fayetteville, Arkansas, who has the ability to make the move, NIL-wise, to justify a guy like Rodney Hill moving from Tallahassee, Florida, Fayetteville, Arkansas, they're probably more likely to make promises and say things to the player than they would be to the agent. To an agent, you're negotiating. And when you are negotiating, what do? You set the bar way low. And they set the bar real high, and you know you're going to meet somewhere in the middle, and you do your best you can to pull the bar more in your direction. But if somebody is interested in Rodney Hill coming to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and being a Wupik-Suey, and they are talking to Rodney Hill, they're probably more likely to be more aggressive in what they tell Rodney Hill they're willing to put on the table to get him there. And so if this agent's pretending to be Rodney Hill and he gets some NIL collective El Presidente to say, we'll give you $200,000 a year to come here, now that agent's got that. Now that is where the negotiations begin, right? So I don't like that. And one of the things that I hope is going to happen, and with enough stories like this will happen, is I do hope that much like the NFL does, the NCAA at some point decides to put into place a set of regulations and requirements that agents must meet. I hope that they will put into place effectively a Rolodex of people who have cleared the necessary bar to be agents, so that players, when they want to sign an agent, and I'm not saying you have to have like, oh, there can only be X amount of agents. No, I think they should. I think there should be a large list, could be an infinite list, of people who have been credentialed, certified, have made the required efforts to take and continue the education necessary to represent these kids, because stories like this can't happen. And I saw people on the internet, you'll never find a more reprehensible place of vile and, nah, what's it? What's the Star Wars quote? I blew it. A hive of scum and villainry? I don't remember. But that, it's that.
I'm not helping you out of this one.
You'll never find.
Because if I mess it up, then we both mess it up. So I'm not, I'm out.
You'll never find a greater hive of scum and villainy. I was very close. I was very close. A wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yeah.
There it is.
You could have bolstered the quote with a little more knowledge, maybe.
Or
maybe.
Well, I don't have Alex charisma. Sir Alex charisma.
Yeah, you got to throw that sir in there. His force ghost may visit us if you,
This kind of stuff is the kind of stuff that's bad. Before the anti-portal people say, see, Rob, you let it happen. And now those kids that you were trying so hard to give a better life, they're getting screwed over. Well, yeah. You'll know that one of the things that I've been saying about the portal and about NIL since the concepts began to be floated back in 2020, you'll notice that one of the things that I said repeatedly was, while I am on board, I do think there is some level of requirement of these kids to recognize that with adult options and adult responsibility comes the possibility of adult consequences. You are given the opportunity to make adult decisions about your business life and your future. But with those comes the possibility that the consequences aren't what you expected. Any day, you could get a call that says, hey, do you want to come do this thing? And you could say, yeah, I'm gonna leave it all behind. I saw a video on Instagram this weekend of this guy who was begging for money, begging for people to hit him up on Venmo. Because he decided one day that the most important thing in his life was to go hike the Appalachian Trail. A commendable adventure. That is actually something I eventually would like to do. Top to bottom, hike the Appalachian Trail. But
there's a former governor who could probably give you a tour.
That's true. What my guy did was walk out on his job to do it. He just left. And then he went, and he was gone for like 2.5-3 months while he hiked the Appalachian Trail. And then he came back one day, and he got fired. Turns out they just gave his job to another person. And he thought he was just going to be able to go, and the boss was going to be like, oh, yeah, you're back. Cool. Welcome back. How was your trip? The boss said, yeah, dude, you don't work here no more, bud. I hope you enjoyed your hike.
So he didn't get leave from his boss to be able to do it.
Okay. Told the boss, this is the thing that is most important to me and to my life. I am doing it. And the boss was like, I'm probably not going to work here anymore. And the guy said, it's important to me that I, and he took off and he got canned. And he came back and now he's crying on the internet, begging strangers for money to get by because he can't find a new job and he didn't expect to lose his. With adult decision-making opportunities comes adult consequences. That being said, much like for the players in the NFL, who have a database of agents, who have completed the required education and training, who have met the requirements for certification, to be certified, to act as agents, et cetera, there should be a set of protocols that people have to make so that this doesn't happen. So that this doesn't happen. Because this is a wild story. This kid probably had a future in Tallahassee. Do I think he was going to end up being RB1? Probably not. Do I think he would have been a massive part of what Florida State was going to accomplish in the run game this year? Yes. Yes, I do. I absolutely do. And now he's going to Arkansas. Now, he'll be, it's a good landing spot. It's a good landing spot because Arkansas is a team that is going to focus on the run. He is going to be probably RB2 since Raheem Morris left Arkansas to go to South Carolina. They've got to replace that guy, and they've got to move on from that guy. So this young man getting his crack at it there, is it the worst thing in the world for him? But it ain't Florida State. And it ain't a team that is hoping to win their conference and get a playoff bye, which would, of course, increase his visibility moving forward. So fix the issue. Put down those regular. This is where those guardrails we heard so much about come into play. This is where those guardrails that the NCAA could have put up years ago to protect student athletes and to protect their own look, because this is a bad look on everybody. This is where those guardrails would have come into play. You could have straight up just copied the way that the NFL operates here, and it would have saved Rodney Hill. It would have saved Florida State. It would have saved them all a lot of issue. But you did nothing, and I place this at their feet. I hate it for the kid. I hate it for his parents, who, according to him, were just like he was taken advantage of. There's only one bad guy in the story, and that's the agent out there catfishing programs. Maybe you could make the argument that FSU's the bad guy for saying, yeah, go ahead and transfer. You don't go to this school no mas. But I don't think they are. I don't think they are. If you found out that an employee, and that's how we're looking at this now, right? If you found out that an employee was out there searching for a new job and they weren't one of your top sellers or earners or performers or whatever, you're telling me you just let him stick around? I don't think they're the bad guy. I think the catfishing agent is the bad guy. And outside of that, it's just a real unfortunate story. Put the guardrails down, set up the BUCO approved agents, and let's prevent this from happening to any more college football players. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, Rob. The great one Lonzo with you here on a lovely Upstate Monday morning. What was that for? That was aggressive.
Because now there's a video of someone complaining that their boss doesn't understand that they need time off. So everything that you have said is popping up on my feed, and it's freaking me out a little bit.
I told you, I am an influencer.
Or a robot.
In real time.
It's one way or the other. It's still, it's weird.
Plugged into the net at all times. At all times. Hey, you know who we haven't talked about enough? You know who we should talk about more today, Zoe? You know who has not gotten their time in the sun so far? Stephen Curry. Legend, icon, global phenomenon, Captain America. I'm glad you wore your Steph Curry shirt today, by the way.
Thank you, Captain.
And he's shooting a three. He's shooting a three, and he made it again. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I was just going to thank Captain Binky, and then he did that. I don't know. That's just weird.
Captain America?
No.
The Steph, the Savior, Curry, that's the guy? You mean my hero?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There goes my hero! He made another three.
Man, see, you could have nailed it. Why'd you hesitate on the three?
He's ordinary. He made another. I put in too many syllables, so I had to do that thing that singers do where they just like pop that one extra syllable.
If you hit that three quick, it would have been perfect.
I feel like I metered it out perfectly.
I don't know. You could have been bolstered if your timing was better.
You know, what I'm really glad is that at the end of that game, With the Americans in need of a big basket, Steph looked right into the camera and said, "I can be your hero, baby." I can make another three. I will shoot it over Victor. We just won the gold again.
See, that was better. See, yeah, no, I mean, you matched that a lot better than the... Yeah,
that one was good. Steph Curry, absolute icon after what my man did. Lit it up.
I was going to say, eat it wire to wire. You can't do that.
I'd pay to hear him try, for the record. I'd pay to hear him try. I think we could get Diesel to a Team USA karaoke night.
It would be a mix of speed metal and country, and it would be
speed metal.
Such a contrast of styles, it would hurt everybody.
Speed metal and country actually sounds kind of dope. Now that I say it out loud, that sounds kind of awesome. 98-87, Team USA gets the dub over France and bring home the gold medal, the fifth gold for Team USA basketball. Steph Curry was, for the second game in a row, absolutely on.
Hero complex. I'm going to suck for the first three or four games. Then suddenly I'm going to come out and you're going to be like, wow, he saved us.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes the smart play is the slow play. All right. Sometimes the smart play is to save it. Just save it. Let your opponents run themselves out. Let them tire themselves out. Let you rope-a-dope them a little bit, right? Muhammad Ali, baby. Sit on the ropes. Bob and weave. Let them throw the haymakers. Just let them glance. And then, pow! You hit them with 8 of 13 from behind the arc. You hit them with another 24 points. You hit them with another 5 assists. And you get that dub. You get that gold, baby.
So I'm really disappointed that he plagiarized CM Punk, who plagiarized some Japanese wrestler when he did the night-night thing.
He did hit him with the GTS, the go to sleep. And then Steph rolled out the next day in his Nui hoodie, which if I find where to buy that, it's happening immediately.
Here's the thing. So he comes out the next day and he has a... So they just made that for him. This was all a plan, a marketing plan.
Who cares either freaking way? It's amazing.
I like the hoodie. I'm not saying it's just weird that it's, you know, the next day there it is.
If there's one person that I assume was going to be, if this was LeBron that did it, Lonzo would be in here exclaiming from the mountaintop that it is the greatest troll job ever pulled to hit him with the night-night after the dagger 3 and then turn around and rock the Nui hoodie the next night. That's phenomenal, man. That's phenomenal. I don't have to tell you. Steph Curry was a G. LeBron wasn't bad either. 14 points, 6 of 10 from the floor. Kevin Durant came in 15 points. On 5 of 12 from the floor. Tatum had a couple. Adebayo had a couple. 8 for AD off the bench. 8 for Ant Edwards off the bench. And 6 for Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, however, was a G on defense. Put the clamps on him on defense.
Shout out to my guy Livingston for winning the gold medal. Appreciate that. Worked really hard for that.
Isaiah Livingston, or as he's known by everybody else, Tyrese Halliburton, who did not play in this game, by the way. Tyrese was the...
Or any other game.
I think he got a little PT. Dude, I could be wrong.
I want to be a practice guy over there. I'd get a practice and then just sit down and watch the game. You got front row seats. I mean, you know, don't have to break a sweat. Maybe in the layup lineup. I don't even know if they do that. They probably do. But you do a little bit of that. You go sit down and watch the game.
James said, I'll go back to hating Steph in a few months, but for now, he's a great man. That's just a fact. That's just a fact.
I'm just believing that if he hadn't stepped up and played like he was supposed to the entire time, somebody else would have.
I mean, maybe, but they didn't. And he did. So he gets the trophy. We're not handing out what-if trophies. We're handing out he-did trophies. And Steph, he did. 36 in the semis, 24, including back-to-back-to-back dagger trays. Because the French weren't going away. The French weren't leaving. The French were still deep into the fourth quarter, absolutely battling. They got it back down to what? 4-6 at one point. There was a point, I'm not going to lie, I was on the edge of the couch on Saturday. Like, edge of the couch. Like, we wrapped up Bet for the Cycle. There was still a good half of that game left to go. And ordinarily in that spot, since I've got the studio set up, ordinarily in that spot, I do a little extra work, right? Record whatever I got to record. Submit some stuff to BetQL to run in other markets. Do a couple of interviews with other shows for their pods, whatever. Nope, don't bother me. Don't call me. Don't text me, don't tweet me, don't nothing me. I am busy. And it got a little dicey there for a minute. There was one thing that jumped off the page at me. What jumped off the page at me was that the problem and the solution were the same in this game. The problem that Team USA Basketball has, and Joey B just brought something up on the stream, which I'm going to address here in just a minute, because he and I talked about this last week. The problem and the solution are the same thing. The problem was that Team USA was not Team USA. It was Players USA. It was 12 dudes out there doing their thing. Ah, we'll take that back. I think Derek White knew his role. I think Drew Holiday knew his role. And I think Isaiah Livingston, a.k.a. Tyrese Halliburton, knew his role. That was kind of it. Everybody else, the other nine dudes, were all dudes that were there to be superstars. And that prevented, I think, Team USA from ever truly, genuinely gelling as a team. And then they started towards the end of this game, they kind of started to look like a basketball team a little bit. There were still some issues. There were still some spots where the ball was getting flipped around a little bit into spots it probably shouldn't have been. Guys were making cuts. There was a takeaway to end the first half where Kevin Durant had the ball top of the key. The team's trying to set up an ISO for him to go to the basket 1v1 and take the last shot. I think it was Steph that came up, set a pick for him, then rolled off the pick. And the game plan there was going to be off the pick, KD, dive to the free throw line, take your man to the free throw line. If you get him in the back pocket, finish it. If the help defender comes over and forces you off, take it to the free throw line, kick it to Steph, because, again, Steph Curry was killing it. But what ended up happening is that I think it was Fournier, I could be wrong. One of the French defenders got a hand in there, tipped it away, took the ball away, and with 2 seconds left, they ended up hitting a layup, 4-point swing to end the half. There were just some spots where it hadn't gelled yet, but then there were spots where it did. Once Steph and KD showed that Steph and KD were back, that Steph and KD were ready to get lit, then all of a sudden everybody started playing to them, and when they started playing to them, the offense opened up. Doesn't help that Steph Curry, doesn't hurt that Steph Curry's out there knocking threes over an 8-foot-tall freak of nature named Victor Wembanyama. Texas said, Jared said, Chad Kroger was thinking about Steph when he wrote that song. Texas said, these song montages are classic. I was making those up as I go. I mean, that's just, I'm like the Steph Curry of making up songs. Back after this to wrap up the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you be a part of the show. You want to jump in here before we call it a day? You can do it. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is open at 844-326-3663. You can text us on the text line 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. And you can tweet everybody up in her at the Fan Upstate. If you want to come at us in that direction, you are welcome to do so. So, had some NFL preseason this weekend. How much outside of your game did you watch? Great one.
Bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah.
The problem is the one I wanted to watch was blacked out, stinking Jacksonville. Still doesn't make sense to me.
But all of America.
Yeah, but
even when it's not their fault, it's their fault.
They're not in our area. Played a Kansas City game. But I saw bits and pieces, including a little bit of the Dallas game last night.
Did watch a little bit of that one.
Because NFL Network replays them. Plays some live and then replays all of them. The Kansas City game, I believe, is on at 3:30 a.m. tonight.
You going to be up?
I have it recording, so
I'll almost be up.
Yeah, I have it recording.
That sucks. That hurt my feelings a little bit there. Don't like that. Don't like that. So, a couple of takeaways. Number one, Anthony Richardson back. Look good. Look fine. Here's my favorite thing, though. I'm going to play this clip. This is Anthony Richardson on a podcast a couple of days ago, and I'll source it for you. But the Florida fans, great one, The Florida fans are upset. This is Anthony Richardson talking about his time at the University of Florida. The Florida fans upset because Anthony Richardson said they threw me to the wolves when I wasn't ready. And then when they made the switch, remember he was there for Napier's first year. When they made the switch, he said, I knew I was gone. I wasn't coming back. Didn't matter if I was going to the draft. Didn't matter if I was going into the portal. I knew I was gone. I wasn't coming back to Florida. And the Florida fans are in their feels about it right now.
The only thing that's really flawed with what he said was learning a new offense. If he would have transferred, he would have had to learn a new offense. You know what he's having to do in the NFL? Learn a new offense.
Yeah, and that's fair. I caught that too. I'm like, hey, I get it, man. But I think the point that he was making, and in fairness, I have it downloaded, but I have not listened to the rest of that interview yet, though I plan on it. The interesting thing to me, I think, was I got the vibe, and I don't know that this is exactly what he was saying, but I got the vibe that he was basically saying that program is lost. That program is lost. They were throwing players to the wolves. There wasn't really a plan. Then when they shifted to the new coach, I stuck it out. He did learn the new offense. He did stay as QB1. But he said at the end of that year that so much had been going wrong, including the injuries, including the chaos at head coach, that didn't matter if it was portal or draft, he knew he was up out of there. And the Florida fans were in their feels basically going, well, why, you know, you didn't love Florida. You didn't, guys, this is it now. Okay.
Come on. I mean, we both know Florida fans and they're rational and they never overreact or anything like that ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Sometimes they move north and become Detroit fans.
Big Michigan guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is a wonderful illustration of what I have been telling you guys for a long time. This isn't a new feeling for players. This isn't something that like, oh, they got the portal and now players don't love the school. There's been plenty of guys that went, got locked in, couldn't leave, didn't want to be there. Now you can, now they can go. Now they can get up out of there whenever they want to. And Anthony Richardson did not transfer. He just went to the league, right? Which was his right and his option. But this is kind of what I'm saying when I say the three C's are what keep kids in college, in your college. The three C's. Coach, culture, cash. Those are the three C's that make kids decide to come to your school and make kids decide to stay at your school. Coach, culture, and cash. You got to have them. So, to me, what Anthony Richardson was saying here was the culture wasn't great and the change in coach made it worse. And here you are, a couple of years later, Florida fans, projected to be a mid-tier team in the Southeastern Conference. Predicted to be a team that is going to once again fall short of expectations. And again, Billy Napier was a risky hire that didn't work out. I don't care about that. You took a shot. You rolled the dice. You're going to hear a lot of Florida fans go, I knew he wasn't the right. No, you didn't. It was a risk. It was a shot in the dark. You were also not in a spot where you were going to be able to command the attention of the biggest names in the game. You weren't getting somebody that was in the same, you know, looking in the same way at a Georgia or whatever. You're not there. You rolled the dice. It didn't work out. But this is also the danger of riding that horse too long. This is also the danger of allowing people to come in and create a negative culture around your program. Now, is it possible that everything was just hunky-dory down at Florida and that this is just a sensitive kid at quarterback? Maybe. Maybe that's the case. Maybe Anthony Richardson was, you know, too soft to play at Florida. That's a possibility. But I doubt it. But I doubt it. Cash, coach, culture. It sounds to me like Florida has lost two of the three C's. It sounds to me like they have lost the coach and the culture. And that is where this struggle is coming from.
I don't know if I should break news on this, but an Illinois school worker sentenced 9 years in prison for stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings.
What? $1.5 million
worth of chicken wings.
Worth of chicken wings. I'm going to need you to fill us in on the deets of that story, bud. We got a minute and a half till X, and that's all I want to fill it with at this point. How do you stay? Was this like over 100 years?
Apparently, she did it during COVID. A former food service director for an Illinois school district was sentenced to 9 years in prison after pleading guilty to stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings that were supposed to go to students during the height of the coronavirus pandemic. Vera Liddell, 68, was working for Harvey School District 152 when she placed orders for the chicken wings with a food provider for the district, Gordon Food Services, from July 2020 to February 2022, and billed the district while she kept the food.
So this wasn't like one big order of $1 million worth of chicken wings, $1.5 million. She was like,
"It was a couple years.
Let me just get 80 wings right now. Have dinner ready for the week, kind of thing."
She was accused of ordering more than 11,000 cases of chicken wings.
Golly. 11,000 cases of chicken wings.
You gotta really love chicken wings.
Where the hell are you putting all these chicken wings, dog?
If you order them over 2 years, you order them per week. So you're eating them all in a week and then I don't know how many weeks are in 2 years. It's not 11,000. You're right.
It's 104.
Yeah. Maybe you're sharing with your family and people. Who knows? Maybe she made her own wing spot and was selling them too.
I was going to say, was she running a restaurant?
No.
That's by the way, that is 11,000 cases of wings. Is an average of 203 cases of wings per week over 2 years. I don't think I could eat 203 wings per week for 2 years.
Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah, I probably could.
Yeah, I mean, it's wings, man.
I believe in Rob Brown.
I just wonder if she ordered all flats or all drummies or just got a mix. I don't know. All right. The first thing is Xing.
That is so many wings.
It's a lot of wings, dude. It's just way too many. All right. Maybe she had a big family. I mean, you know, maybe it wasn't just for her. All right. The first thing is Xing is Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus is Xing. Now, I don't know that this is why, but I'm taking a stab at it. Miley's been putting out some music videos on Twitter and social the last couple of weeks covering some pretty good songs. I think I heard her the other day do, oh God, what was it? I actually really liked it. I thought it was good. I don't remember what it was, but she's put out a couple of songs.
She's asking because she was given the Disney's Legend Award, the youngest to ever get that.
Really?
Yeah.
Miley, of course, getting her start as Hannah Montana, her father played by the iconic Billy Ray Cyrus, her father. I'll tell you this. Miley had her little year and a half rundown where she got a little weird out there for a minute. But if you haven't heard it, Miley covered Jolene better than anybody's done Jolene since Dolly herself did Jolene.
It's not a bad version of Jolene.
It's not bad. It's good.
A lot of people try to cover that song, and she did a really good job.
Miley's got
even enjoyed it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
well, that's her, her godmother.
Yeah.
Miley's got, I am a sucker for like that raspy rock and roll chick voice, and Miley's got it, dude. She does.
The Climb's still one of my favorite songs ever from her. The next thing that's Xing is Galactus.
Okay, so this isn't why it was trending, but At the premiere of Deadpool Wolverine a couple of weeks ago, Disney flew like a drone show up in the movie theater that included a huge-ass Galactus head. Very cool. I'm assuming we got our first look at him in the Fantastic Four trailer.
We did at D23. It's not the trailer is not officially online, so it's what they showed. You know, they show reels at like Comic Cons and things like that. They did it at D23, and of course, someone leaked it. You definitely need to watch it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Mufasa.
Mufasa. They also announced a live-action Lion King prequel, which I've seen the trailer synopsis for.
This trailer is out.
This trailer is out. Okay. Yeah. So the vibe that I got was that Scar helped the clan accept Mufasa, but then they made Mufasa king, jumping over Scar. And if that's the case, Scar kind of had a point.
Well, yeah, right? But here's the problem. All right, let villains be villains. You don't need to go back and rewrite and retcon the villain. So now you have to watch Lion King and get and go, okay, I get it. I see why he did it. It looks pretty good, actually, but still, I don't know about that.
I'm intrigued. I will say this: the best thing that came out of that, as much as I love the comic book movie Renaissance and all that, the best thing that came out of it is that they are building a villains land down in Disney World Orlando, an entire section of the park dedicated to the bad guys. Dude, yes, going absolutely.
Does Coach Prime have his own spot there?
It's very good. That's very good. That's very good. So was this show, if I may say so myself. Thanks for being here, y'all. Appreciate it. Hope you enjoy Monday. When we come back tomorrow, we will be 11 days away from college football. So let's dive in on it, shall we? Make our conference selections tomorrow. What do you think? We'll see. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy the show. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better as the not gold medal, but might as well be winning. Rob Brown Show is here on the Fan Upstate later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.